In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is such an honor being with you here at St. John's, and I'm very grateful for the invitation extended to me.
Thank you, David. Good to have you here.
It's been over 2 years since I began my ministry as Canon of the Ordinary here in the Diocese of Lexington after serving the Episcopal Church in Cleveland, Ohio congregations for 13 years in youth and family ministries. And yet, after 2 years, the question I still get most often, by far, what exactly is a Canon to the Ordinary? This really is yet another example of the church complicating a really simple concept. Canon, in this instance, really just means assistant. An ordinary refers to the bishop. And not that Stacy's some ordinary kind of guy, which he is. No. Ordinary refers to the one who orders our ministries. It's in reference to the jurisdiction, the area that a bishop has as part of his or her ministry. And the canon to the ordinary, then, is typically the person who is the chief advisor to the bishop and assists in implementing the bishop's vision of mission and ministry in the diocese. And yet the church... Oh, the church. It's really quite good at complicating things and confusing simple ideas. For instance, we call this space that we worship in the nave, right? We call the entrance of the church the narthex. A box we keep bread on when we put it on the altar is now called a ciborium, right? The bread plate at the altar is called the paten. The cup we drink out of, we have to call a chalice. The funny hat the bishop wears is called a mitre, right? You know these terms, don't you? Maybe you've got your favorite one, and we could make a board game out of it. However, I don't want to give the church too hard of a time. And remember, when I say church, we are the church. I mean, that's us, right? Because sometimes in the church, we work together and we make sense out of complicated, confusing things. For instance, this morning we mark, as we do on the fourth Sunday of Easter season each year, Good Shepherd Sunday. This morning, we actually hear the little less familiar, or at least less quoted, passage that precedes the more sentimental passage when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." No, in this morning's verses, right before that, we hear Jesus say, "I am the gate." Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the shepherd, and Jesus is the gate. And early in John's gospel, of course, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the Lamb. That's a lot to sort out. I mean, which is it, Jesus? What do you want to be? I got some help on this one, though. 1 year from the time I get to spend at our summer camp at the Cathedral Domain every summer, I live there for several weeks each year, often joined by my middle daughter, Isabel. She's 10 years old now. One Sunday, between camp sessions, I went on a visit to St. Thomas Beattyville in Lee County, not far from the Domain. And Isabel and I were driving that beautiful, curving mountain road some of you may know from the Domain to St. Thomas. It was a gorgeous morning, and Isabel began singing one of those songs they sing at camp. Oh, you know them. Maybe you know this one. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. You have to bear with me. She's a better singer than I am. But the chorus, it goes something like this. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. You know it, right, Ann Claire? Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Well, can you imagine the scene? Daughter and daddy driving, singing at the top of our lungs. It was just one of those great moments a dad gets to have. And then Izzy stopped singing. She paused and asked me, Daddy, why do we call Jesus the Lamp of God? Good night. No, that's what kids do, right? I said, honey, it's the Lamb of God, not the Lamp of God. Oh, she says. You know what's next, right? Daddy, why do we call Jesus the Lamb of God? I thought to myself, it would be easier, Lamp of God. Maybe I should tell her it's Lamp of God. And so the discussion began about how lambs were very important to the Hebrew people. They were, for some, their most important possession. Their success in caring for their lambs was a matter of life and death. It was their livelihood. And so lambs were a symbol of that which was most important. I tried to explain to Isabel that the Hebrew people, just like us today, work to understand how everything we have comes from God. Undeserved. Unearned. And that they would sacrifice some of their lambs as an offering to God to show God that they were trying to understand. And God gave us His Son, Jesus, His most prized possession, as a sign of how much He loves us. Do you think I did all right with her? I was making it up at the time. But at this moment, Isabel's eyes get really very big and she says, Daddy, do we still sacrifice lambs today? No, not like that, I said, but we try to make other sacrifices of things very important to us. As important to us today as lambs were to the Hebrew people. Don't we? Like our money, and our time, our talents. She said, like chocolate, you mean? Sure. For her, like chocolate. I then began to talk to her about the adults who volunteer at the domain each summer, who sacrifice a week of their vacation, the only week of vacation for some of them, in order to serve others, children in this instance, so they can have an experience drawing them closer to the love of God. Can you imagine that? Surrendering your only week of vacation for the year. Well, that's not sacrifice, Daddy, Isabel mandates. Why? I asked. Because no one's making them do it. Oh, now we're on to the good stuff, right? Because that's the best kind of sacrifice. The grateful giver. The person who gives because they want to, out of love, out of gratitude to God and for everything God gives us, and giving it away in service to others. That's Jesus as the Lamb of God. A message of sacrifice to draw the connection we have to each other and to God closer. And now today we hear Jesus describe Himself as the gate. To appreciate what Jesus is trying to explain to the Pharisees, it's important to remember that Jesus, in the previous chapter, has just healed a blind man, a man rejected and outcast. And even though healed by Christ, the man continues to be rejected and thrown out by the community. Jesus, you see, is the gate that opens the way for us to a deeper life with the divine. And Jesus is the gate even for those whom we see as the most unredeemable of all of us. Those we reject, Jesus opens the gate. In fact, now hang in here with me because this is important. That means that Jesus is the gate for what we might see as the most unredeemable part of our own selves as well. There is no part of any of us that Jesus cannot open the gate to new life, new hope, new healing, forgiveness, wholeness, connection to us. And we will find our way to that gate, of course, by recognizing the voice of the Good Shepherd, who calls us out with his voice that we recognize. All three, Lamb, Gate, and Shepherd, are functions of the Christ, calling us to a recognition that we are connected. We are connected to God and to each other. Not recognizing our inherent divine interconnected nature of our humanity is the essential root of all our brokenness and sin. Because brokenness and sin, where we hurt, is where we are isolated. Where we isolate ourselves and forget that we are divinely connected now and forever. Alleluia. Amen. It reminds me of another story. This one, a retired priest of this diocese taught me when I first came. He claimed it's an Appalachian proverb. He tells me the story of these two boys. They're walking through the mountains of eastern Kentucky out in the woods. And they come across a hole in the ground. And the boys look down in this hole and they can't see the bottom of it. And of course, being boys, that means they can't leave well enough alone. So the first boy picks up a rock because he wants to see how deep the hole is. And he throws the rock down in the hole. And they don't hear a thing. Well, that's not good enough, of course. So they look around and they find the biggest rock they can find. And two of them pick up this rock and they jump over the hole. They throw this big rock into the hole and they lean over and they listen. And they don't hear a thing. Well, this must be one deep hole, the boys think to themselves. This won't do, they think. We've got to see how deep this hole is. And they look around and they see this big, heavy railroad tie sitting over by some bushes. They go over to them, pick up this big railroad tie. And they throw it into the hole, and they listen. Not a sound. And then the most remarkable thing they'd ever seen happen. From behind those bushes comes running out as fast as they'd ever seen a sheep running right by. And it jumps and it dives into that hole. Look at each other and they listen. Not a thing. Well, all of a sudden, come running out from the bushes an old farmer, the shotgun in his hand, and he looks at these two boys and he says, "Have you seen my sheep?" And the boys said, "Well, we don't know, farmer. What'd you do to my sheep? We didn't do anything to your sheep, farmer. But there was a sheep that just ran by, jumped in this hole. It's the strangest thing we've ever seen." And the farmer looks at him and says, "Well, that can't be my sheep. Mine was chained to a railroad tie." We're already connected. We're already connected. And our brokenness only comes when we don't recognize that. And the voice of the Good Shepherd is calling out to us to hear it. We just have to pay attention. I almost missed it that once. I simply thought it was the voice of my middle daughter on that curvy road in Lee County. I know better now. That young girl with a little summer camp at the Domain mixed in opened my eyes just a bit to better see Jesus as the Lamb of God, a sacrifice, and to understand Jesus more fully as the gate to the seemingly unredeemable and rejected parts of the world and of myself. And listening for that sort of voice of the Good Shepherd can draw us closer to the love of God and bring our souls more closely in alignment with God's hopes, wishes, and dreams. In community, us, the church, gathered together. The Lamb, the Gate, the Shepherd connects us to the deep desire of our soul to reconcile ourselves with God and each other. Forgiving ourselves. Forgiving each other for things done and left undone. Releasing us from the frozen darkness of isolation. Freeing us to turn around, face a new direction, and the direction is connection. It's love for our neighbors, justice to the neglected, and peace to a conflicted people and troubled world. Jesus, I think, is calling out to us all the time in all sorts of ways if we can just find a way to listen. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Amen.